So, let's hold our hands and say this was our Father. We receive revelation that found in the written word. I, you, Jesus, do not deceive us in itself. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. So, we are taking a series in church, tongues yesterday, today, and forever. This is the third section. Hallelujah. We started it off last week, Thursday. And we hope to cover some grounds today as we get into next week. After GPLR. Hallelujah. Quite a study, because like I said to us, a study that would every Christian study should actually enhance our or make us effective in our worship of God. Every Christian study. Hallelujah. But this also will so do the same thing. So what we're teaching is nothing less than what proper Bible study should do. Like I said to us, proper Bible study will come out in your worship of God. Hallelujah. It will come out. Glory to God. To come. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There are people who, when they tell you God, they talk about God, they tell you God is a consuming fire. Some people say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. Ah! I don't know what they mean by that. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a fearful, terrifying. Say God. Oh, I've heard someone say God is terrible. Amen. And it's because of how they read scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fearful. They walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. They don't understand what Paul was communicating there. But like I said, it's a product of their study of scriptures. Hallelujah. Can you say God is terrible? And yet, David did something that was wrong, and he was told, was given options. In, we saw 1 Samuel, right? Was it in this class? Was it in this class we saw 1 Samuel? I mean, yeah, that was 1 Samuel now. Was it 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel? Okay, 1 Samuel. We saw it in this class, right? Is it this teaching on Sunday? Right? When you count the people, and God was angry? Okay, we didn't read those parts, but I read something from 1 Samuel 24 to us. Okay. So, they had options. But what did he say? He said, I rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men. That's what David said. So I rather fall. So that same hands of God, I mean, David said, I rather fall into the hands of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is a terrible thing. It's just a product of worship. I mean, the product of knowledge. How they've been taught. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like we said, we'll delve into some truth on our sovereignty of God as we approach GTLR. So let's see a few things this evening. Like we said, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generations, Genesis. We said that's the word Genesis of Jesus Christ. And Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said, this is Matthew's way of telling you, I'm writing about the humanity of Jesus, and you have to read it from scripture. So, he says, what is writing? He gives you that disclaimer. What is writing is from the Genesis. Hallelujah. And he's writing about the humanity of Jesus. In chapter 28, verse 18, he said to them, go therefore, make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it closes up with the divinity of Jesus, that he is the I am of the scriptures. I am with you always. Amen. Is the I am of scriptures. So he makes you see the humanity and the divinity of Jesus from scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen. Mark also opened up with Mark 1:1. He used the word the beginning, Alke.
Alke, Alke, a shade of the word Genesis, used,
a shade of the word Genesis also, making you see how to read. He goes into verse 2, as it's written in the prophet, behold, he goes into Malachi, and then in verse 3, he talks about the voice in the wilderness, Isaiah, telling you, you have to read everything together. Hallelujah, read everything together, read backwards.
That is to say, what I'm writing at the incarnation of Jesus, you have to read it from the scriptures as scripture fulfilled. Did you see that?
So you write that like that for you to see. Right, what he does is, so you have to read backwards to see what he's talking about in his books. Glory to God. And he's talking about the humanity of Jesus. In Mark 16, on verse 15, that same instruction, which is instruction of the scriptures, say, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes,
and his baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. They in my name will cast up devils, will speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not help them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. 20. He said, when they saw them, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven as at the right hand of God. That shows his divinity. Sat at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And they went forth and preached everywhere,
may he will be found with them. Hallelujah. So speaking about the divinity, when you use the word preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them,
it will be the Exodus. God with them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. God with them, walking with them. So they said, reenacting the same Exodus path, that he is the God of the scripture that was with the children of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We saw John. John opens up with his divinity. He spoke nothing about the birth of Jesus. He said nothing about it. He says, rather, I said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. When he was to talk about Jesus, he said, the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Hallelujah. So he opens up with his divinity.
Hallelujah. With his divinity. And he says, you'll be found from the Genesis.
He used the word Alkei. In the beginning. Genesis.
Look at how they wrote. They wrote in such a way that you should not be detached from the Old Testament books, right? Hallelujah. You shouldn't be detached from the Old Testament books, the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you read their synoptics,
when you get to chapter 20, verse 23,
so when he said this, he blessed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So whosoever sins, ye forgive are forgiven. And so whosoever ye retain, are retained.
So he says there that in the preaching of the gospel, he will be found with the disciples in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Because he has shown you that he as the word is God of the scriptures in John 1:1. So when he says, Lord walking, when he says forgive, you know that the forgiveness of sin is God that forgives sins. So when he says that and he said it to them, he's telling them he will be found carrying out these tasks through them. Divinity and hallelujah. Hope you're following that.
Hallelujah.
Then down to Luke. Luke 1.
Luke spoke about, Luke had an audience different from the audience of the other three, but his audience is a Gentile audience, but yet he still reads from the Jewish Bible. Hallelujah. It says then, but men are taken in hand and said, in other those things which are commonly, which are surely believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning, who were eyewitness.
So he said, he gives that disclaimer that he wasn't there. But those we heard it from are ministers of the gospel from the beginning. So he used that same word, our case, to make you see that those guys, or who he heard from, were ministers who were ministering from the Genesis. Did you see that? So he tells you again, you have to get back to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me.
Hallelujah.
We find it also in Luke 24:25. He spoke, he saw the two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus, and he said to them, who fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have said. They ought not to cry to suffer these things that enter into the scripture.
Enter into his glory.
So when you do what all of the prophets have said, prophet there is a shade of word for Genesis down to Malachi.
Hope you're following me. All what the prophet has said.
If you get down to verse 44, he says,
And he said to them,
these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which in the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Something I need you to see that Jesus did to his disciples, that the final writers of the synoptic do, also the writers of their epistles do, is the fact that in verse 45, the Bible says that Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He used that word tsunami. Tsunami, yeah. Hallelujah. So it means he brought
events together. Events from different words. He brought them together. Hallelujah. And that is what, as we'll see subsequently in our teaching, that is what the writers of this synoptic has done for us. Hallelujah. So they're writing about the incarnation of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and they are writing it from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So they are bringing us events for you to see it is fulfilled in the Christos. How are you following me? That's what they're doing. Glory to God. Glory to God. So therefore, you shouldn't be detached. You shouldn't be detached. So, something very vital is, like I said to us, you must learn to read the Bible as one piece. It is one major bad. One major bad that has been done to us is to make us see the Bible as two different pieces, Old Testament and New Testament. Amen. It's bad. Glory to God. And that dichotomy there is not of God. That dichotomy, Old and New Testament, is not of God at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and it should be very important, or it's very vital that you see, that the writers of the New Testament did treat the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi, as another different book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how did they treat it? In fact, the first century church is in the days of the epistles, right? Is that the first century church? Right? The apostles, right? The church of the apostles. Now, they didn't treat the Genesis to Malachi as a done away with book. No. This is what they read as Bible. That's what they read as Bible. Nobody saw Genesis to Malachi as Old Testament. No! In fact, the epistles, the synoptics were not called Bible. What they have as epistles, when the epistles are written to them, they didn't see the epistles then as Bible. They saw the epistles, and I'm going to tell you the truth, they saw the epistles as explanation of the scripture that they had with them. You see that? So when they sat down with the scripture, they will come to church like you are in church, and they have Genesis down to Malachi. So when the epistles is handed over to them, or when the epistles is being read, they are looking at it from the scriptures. Did you see that? So they are reading the epistles as explanation of what they had with them. So nobody treated the 39 books as another piece. Hope you are following me. And look at the way the writers of the epistles will write. They will write in such a way that you have to keep reading the Old Testament books. Why? Because I told us that they employed a system of writing called shorthand. Did you see that? So they are writing and they are reading the events. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So the moment the writer calls redemption, everybody goes again to the book of Genesis. And you see, where is that word was spoken of? They get back to Genesis. They see the promise of God to Abraham, and they see the children of Israel into Egypt, and they see their departure out of Egypt. That is redemption. Did you see that? So when they hear redemption, nobody say redemption, let's go and buy something in the market. No! Okay, what do you mean? So when they hear redemption, everybody goes again to Genesis. So that means the moment you carry the epistles and the four, okay, and the synoptics, you have to keep going back to the 39 books. If you are reading the epistles and the synoptics and you are not going back to the 39 books, then you are not reading well. Hallelujah. Hope you follow me. So the epistles and the synoptics will point you backward. And as you go back to the 39 books, you are reading it is taking you forward. Hope you are seeing it. Glory to God. When you hear the Lamb
the lamb that was killed and the blood is to drink into the crystal. So you are serious, you are going back and then, oh, I guess I saw something like this in Matthew. Did you see that? Oh, I saw something like this in 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read the temple in the Old Testament books, he takes you again, right? 1 Corinthians, you are seeing it. The only first one is the temple. You say, oh, let me read the temple. Before God says who, he said Balachu. Before God says Balachu, he is what? Who are you going to be? Heaven and earth. Oh, that is temple language. Okay, I see this. So the moment I get to Exodus and I see Balachu, what is Moses saying? Oh, I have to go back to Genesis. Is that? Exodus is taking me back to Genesis to see heaven and earth. Genesis is taking me again to Exodus, and Exodus is taking me to Kings, that it has moved from tabernacle to temple. Hope you are following me. You are reading that progression. Glory to God. That is how scripture is written. It's written for you to keep reading it again and again and again. You keep going back and coming forward. Hallelujah. To understanding Bible truth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So, that's why I said a great harvest that has been done is to see the Bible as different pieces. One is done away with. If it is done away with, then why do you still have it inside that compendium called Bible? It should be passed away. But it's there. It's not there for you to leave it. It's there for you to read it. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So, a believer shouldn't have favorite scripture. Shouldn't have a favorite book. Because my favorite book is Esther. All is my favorite book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we saw that technique, shorthand. Right? They write a shorthand. Shorthand will mean you have to go back and reread. Because many times, the things that are written in shorthand will carry events. Right? Will have events that you have to go back again and read. Hallelujah. So we said also, how do they now write in the Old Testament books? Psalm 78, we saw that on Sunday. Psalm 78, he said they were writing figures of speech. They were writing riddles. They were employing that in their writing. So you mustn't read things in your world. You have to go back to their world and read it in their world and read how they wrote in their world. That is, you have to sit at the seat of the first audience. Was that what we said? And hear what they heard. Glory to God. We see that this is of the first order, and then we need to hear what they heard. And hearing what they heard will mean you have to subject yourself to their world, not to your own world. So this is yourself to their world. We saw last time that they, in their world, location, geography is theology. Or geography is used to communicate theology. We saw all that, right? Did we see that? Okay, let's take something else again. Many times, in communicating the oracles of God, now I said they use geography, right? Many times in communicating the oracles of God, Moses will borrow feasts. And he will also reenact feasts for them. Watch that. He will borrow feasts and then reenact feasts for them or give them feasts and convocations. Well, yeah, convocation, don't think it's matriculation, convocation from university. Amen. Give them feast and convocation. But let's talk about, we saw one of the feasts, I mean, one of the borrowed convocations or breaks that they have, call it the Sabbath, right? The Sabbath. So, and I showed us on Sunday, though we didn't go deep, but I taught you, during Believers Convention, like I said, you have to read those. Okay, I've not said it here. You have to study this teaching together with Believers Convention message. It's a continuation from Believers Convention. Hallelujah. Don't miss it. You'll see why the continuation has to go ahead. Hallelujah. So something you have to see quickly now is the fact that... when Jesus said, my day, my hour, that is a shorthand. My day, my hour is a shorthand, like I told us during Believer's Convention. So you have to go back again and read that day in Genesis 2. The seventh day, the last day. So when you're last day, don't call it end of the world. Last day will have its origin where? In the Genesis. We saw that during Believer's Convention, right? So you have to go back to the Genesis and read the last day. The last day will be the seventh day. And Moses followed that seventh day from where?
Egypt. I showed you that Egypt, Sabbath. The Shabbat day. That is Shabbat, so not Shabbat. The Shabbat. So what do you do in the Shabbat?
You don't do any work. He said it is the Lord's day. The Lord's day. Where God entered into his work. Entered into his rest. Hallelujah.
How we saw the import of that day. So listen, Jesus calls it his day. When he calls it his day, it will be his day for redemption, right?
It is day of redemption. When man will receive the new wine, don't you? You saw that, right? Right? Is that salvation?
That will be his day. Now, we're going to see something. Is his day a particular day or the believer's whole day? Is his day a particular day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, or the believer's life? Is it the believer's life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So, we called it something, not a believer's conversion. Who can remember? We called it something. The Lord's Day, we called it something. Who can remember? We called it eternal life. Did you remember that? It's called eternal life. Eternal life is not, I remember, you wouldn't have a friend to define eternal life there. Eternal life is not alive, it's going to live in heaven, it's bad, it's God living on earth.
It's true. The alive, I hope people live in death and then come in America. God's mind is real, I've never to be in God.
I said it, I still remember it. No, we'll sit together in heaven and place is real. Well, the eternal life is the life of both sickness, death and economic murder. Not in COVID, didn't you? Didn't you stay inside? Let's see what this is.
So eternal life is the reign of the Messiah. Did you see that? His reign. And that reign is in his day. Did you see that? So eternal life is used for his reign. His day is for his reign. So he enters into his work. And where does he want his work to be? In all the earth. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Okay, what do you mean? In all the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, like, I'm not going into Sabbath because of time.
But I've taught that during Believer's Convention,
at least a bit, till we get to next year, where we'll go a bit further. Hallelujah. So something else, another feast that they have. Okay. Moses, like I said, reenact feast for them. Hallelujah. Reenact feast for them. One of such feasts is the Passover. Passover. Pascha. The Pascha. The Passover. But before we see the Passover, let's see something. Let's see Jesus' commentary on feast.
Hallelujah.
This is something that Jesus said. In John chapter 7 quickly. John 7. Let's get to John 7 quickly. If you want to sleep in this session, you better not sleep. John 7. It's like you say, Hallelujah.
Heavenly Lord, Hallelujah.
Fight the sleep very well. Verse 38. Let's see this. It says, okay. This is 30. So, let's see this. I want to go back a bit. Look at verse 30. Yeah, because I'll come up to 30 and then we'll run down to 30. I'll come up to 30 shortly in this teaching. But look at 30. He said, and they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. That is day. Mark that this is some years before this. I can't really place it now, but
some years before his death.
Amen. Watch that. He says, and many of the people, like 2 years. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, he will do more miracles. Look at verse 33. Look at when this was happening, you have to see what is happening here. I just said that a little while he was here talking. Look, go straight to verses 37. was then talking about his death. Then he said this in the text. He said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying.
What was the import of this? He stood and cried, saying.
He was having a teaching meeting. Then during this, like I told you,
you will find these are short men of him having a teaching. Like the same way you find in
the supper table. In the supper table.
It was a teaching meeting. It was not him drinking, but
No, they had it. It was a teaching class. Hope you saw that.
And it didn't start with the I don't want to call it. Okay, it didn't start with the that teaching didn't start with them drinking and eating something. You read John. Where did it start from? It started by washing their feet. It was a culture.
Feet washing.
You wash their feet.
And then Peter said, no, Master, you don't wash my feet. Jesus now said, if I don't wash you,
he said, you have no part in me. So Jesus didn't say, if I don't wash your feet, he said, if I don't wash you. So you know that it's not feet washing. That is the essence of, that feet washing was pointing to something.
So this is that?
Oh, what they are saying is, it was a pointer. So Jesus is saying, that washing of the feet, that the Jews had was pointing to him. Do you understand me? So you find out that how the writers of this synoptic will write is that they will write some of those events, right? Write some of those events of feasts that they have, and then they will not put or they will make you see Jesus' commentary on it that they have to go back and repeat. So it's not like on that day, Jesus is not, he that says nothing come and preach.
He has been teaching them.
Amen. So I've been sitting there and answered. Come and do. Hallelujah. Then he said it. He shouted. And everybody heard. Do you see that? Everybody heard. Just like when he got to the temple. Was the teaching class to the temple? So in that teaching class, he went to where the Gentiles were and then he scattered the temple. Why was he doing that? He was part of his teaching. Then he told them to destroy the temple. You see that? He was teaching class.
Glory to God. Was a teaching class. Glory to God. So here also, he stood up and said to them, if any man says that thing, come unto me and drink. Now when you use the word last day, the great day of the feast. Now,
they have a feast they call the great feast. And it's called the feast of
Tabernacles. We're going to see that shortly in Leviticus 23. Amen. So, during that feast, Jesus stood up and said, he that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, and this spake he of the Spirit. So what is he saying?
He's saying that this feast of the tabernacle will be fulfilled in where? How? Will be fulfilled by me. Right?
Will you be fulfilled by him? Yes! Let's get back to Leviticus 23:36 quickly. Leviticus 23, let's look at verse 36. I'll like to read from verses 35. It says, on the first day, okay, let's start from verses 34. It says, spoke unto the children of Israel, say, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Did you see that? Then it was on the last day that Jesus spoke. Now look at what he said on the fourth day. So on the fourth day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall not sever work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Did you see that? So watch this. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is solemn. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Hope you are seeing it. What do they do on that? Look at verse 37. To offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything upon his day. Are you following me?
Hallelujah. So there is an offer to signify what the Christos will do. Hope you are following me. Hope you are seeing that. Hope you are seeing that.
Glory to God. So Jesus says the essence of it will be what he will do. The essence of that feast. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, quickly, something I need you guys to see. So, when Jesus made this statement, it implies that he, in his resurrection, is the fulfillment of the feast. In fact, all the feasts of the Jews,
of the Jewish culture, Jesus had to fulfill them. He had to fulfill them. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. He had to fulfill them. In Luke 24:44, all right, he said, these are the words which I spoke to while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Jesus, that, and I asked him that question, was Moses writing those things for Jesus to fulfill? I said, no. Amen. But Moses wrote those things to point you to the Christos.
And in the resurrection, what will Jesus do?
Jesus will make you see that all those things are pointing to him. So therefore, he will fulfill it to show that he is the essence why Moses wrote concerning those things.
Amen. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me.
Glory to God. Let's see a couple of things now. Let's see a couple of other things. Another feast they have is called the Feast of the Passover.
Passover. Passover.
Now the origin of Passover will be Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Let's get down to Exodus 12. And Exodus 12. Look up at verses 11. No, verse 4, verses 9. Now, now, read verse 2, because we'll get to see this from next week. Look at verse 2, it said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Do you see that? It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Watch that. Amen. That's called the month of Abib.
But we're going to see that. Hallelujah. They say it shall be the beginning of months. Watch that. So now, verse 5. So Moses tells them that they should get a lamb. For verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Watch that. Without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take out from the sheep and from the goat. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on two posts, on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. Watch that. Roast with fire. And unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. See, eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his leg, and with the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire. He said, watch verse 11. He said, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoe on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord. Did you see? It is the Lord Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and smite all the firstborn in the land, both men and beasts. So, now this is the Passover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he said, and I will, it's not God.
Amen. We'll deal with that on GPL out. Let me get there.
Amen. It's not God.
Glory to God. Amen. It's actually not God.
So the origin, like I said, the Exodus 12, right? Signifying the lamb that was slain. Right?
And what does the essence? When they sprinkled it, when the death angel came, it passed over them. Hallelujah. Amen. Pass over them. That is, they were delivered. That is the essence. The essence of the Passover is deliverance. The Lord's deliverance. Watch that. The Lord's deliverance. They were delivered.
Hallelujah. 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 That's the essence of it. They were delivered. We have that. I taught you that now. Communion table. So you can get that teaching. Amen. So they were delivered. So, question is, what do you do to the Passover? Look at verse 27. What do you do to the Passover? You kill it. Hallelujah. It says, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. This is that deliverance. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. Did you see that? Amen. So it's deliverance. The essence of the Passover was to show deliverance, how God delivered them. And their firstborn were saved. Watch this. Amen. Amen. So when you read, when you hear the word Passover, you have to read it from Egypt, how God delivered them, right? From death. And also how they came out of Egypt. It's the whole story. It's not just that event alone. They came out through the Red Sea. So the Passover goes from that day, and then they came out of it. Look at Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. Let's say a couple of things here. It says, observe the month of Abib. Deuteronomy 16:1, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Did you see that? Did you see that? So it deals with that deliverance that night, and then how they came out. Did you see that? Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover. So now the Passover is a celebration. The Passover is also the animal. They shall sacrifice the Passover. Did you see that? Did you see that? So the Passover is both a feast and the animal is called Passover. I hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Very good. They shall sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 3, they shall leave no living bread with it. 7 days thou shalt eat without unleavened bread, therewith even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth from the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's called the Lord's Passover. Let's see the ordinance of this Passover in Leviticus 23. Go back to Leviticus. Leviticus 23, Passover. Leviticus 23. Verses 5. Verses 5. It says, in the 14th day of the first month. Is that the Abib? Yeah, the first month. Amen. So, it's not the 14th day. This will come very vital, handy next week. So, mark that. The 14th day of the first month. What that? At even is the Lord's Passover. Did you see that? Did you see that? And on the fifth day of the same month is the feast of the unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days they must eat unleavened bread, and then they had those feasts. Hallelujah. So the 7 days after the Passover you have unleavened bread. Right? To show there is that deliverance to be holy. Unleavened bread is used to show holiness. This is that. So what is the deliverance for? To becoming holy. Did you see that? Who are following that? Amen? For 7 days. So, something else we're going to see how it is arranged is that you go from the next, and it's like that all through. From the Passover, they had the first fruit. We're going to see all that. The Passover, the first fruit, and then the wheat. We're getting there. Hallelujah. I need your full attention now. Glory to God. So, Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 26, the Passover, Matthew 26:2. I'm just showing you what I've taught you before. Again, Matthew 26, verses 2. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew 26:2. It says, look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Can you see that?
Amen.
Jesus said it. It's in 2 days. In the next 2 days. So he was telling them, I will be betrayed to be crucified. So that means Jesus chose that Passover to die. And we're going to see why. Amen. He chose that Passover to die. Remember I told you, he was going to fulfill the feast of the Israelites, right? Right? God has, because he came through the Israelites. He has gone through Igbo. He will have fulfilled the feast of the New Yam Festival. Right? the you don't know. I will feel New Year Festival. It will be new beginning. I will feel it. Yeah, looking at me. I will feel New Year Festival. I will feel the what I'm going to do. The thing. Huh? I'm talking here. Since I'm talking another. I will feel the forgotten. Think I have forgotten my question.
They have fulfilled a boom festival.
Yes, they have. Wow! Because Jesus is said the people of Israel have to fulfill it.
Because they were really concerned in him. Look at what they
did. Amen. But just, so, he had to fulfill it. Because Moses gave those ordinances. The one in your village was given for the ordinances of their God. Amen. But Moses gave those ordinances to teach about the oral of God. Amen. So because Jesus is God now, he has to fulfill them. Hallelujah. Not that Moses was writing it for Jesus to fulfill it though. Moses was just writing it. Right? You don't need to explain. But Jesus came and fulfilled to make you see that he was writing constantly. Hope you're following me here. Hope you're following me here. Okay. So Jesus chose that festival to die. That Passover. Why that Passover? We're going to see that.
Amen. Amen.
Someone asked me a question. Why did Jesus die at age 33?
We're going to see that too.
Amen.
That's why he had to die at 33.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We'll see all that tonight. I can still show you that. I still have time. Okay. Let's see a few of those things. Don't worry. So, like I said, Jesus chose that to die, right? So wait a second. Let me quickly check something. Okay. Because, and he also had Passovers with them before now. You have to know, he had Passovers with them before now. Amen. In John 2. John 2. Wonder why I don't have that yet. Okay, John 2, 13. John 2, verse 13. Let's see that. Are you in John 2, 13? Let's be fast. It says, And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem.
Did Jesus celebrate Passover or not? Did he celebrate Passover or not? Did he celebrate Passover or not? So he had set that Passover to them.
But he chose this one to die. Why this one? Did you see that? It has nothing to do with because he's 33 years old. No, 33 and a half. No.
That has nothing to do with that. But that is. But why was it this one he chose? Why did he choose this one in John 2? We're going to see. Amen. So he chose this particular one to die.
Right? Hallelujah. He chose this particular one to die. John 2 verse 23. Look at verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover. You see that? He had that Passover in John 6 verse 4. He had another Passover with them. John 6 4. Look at John 6 4. It says, And the Passover, the feast of the Jews was near. Did you see that? He had another Passover. In John 11, he had another Passover with them again. John 11. That actually was the last. The last was John 12. John 11, he had another Passover with them. Hallelujah, verse 55. Okay, this was actually the last that happened in John 12. They say, and the Passover was nigh at hand. Did that and went out to the country of Jerusalem. So you find out that when it was Passover, he would go to Jerusalem.
Amen. The Jews. Amen. So during Passover, he
had different Passover, but he chose this one to go to die. Did Jesus die deliberately on Passover? Yes, he died deliberately. Did you remember what I showed you earlier on? That you should mark that they wanted to kill him. Right?
Right? But it was not yet his time. They couldn't kill him, but not yet his time. He didn't allow.
In John 8, verses 59, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Why?
It was not yet his time. Amen. He chose
us. Did you see that? So he chose Passover.
And if you watch that night, when they came to capture him, he said, this is your hour and the time. This is your time and the hour of darkness. Why did he say that? Because that was that time. He allowed it.
Hallelujah. And he wouldn't have been able to kill it. Yeah, those are what Jesus chose it to die. Hallelujah. He chose that to die. And like I said, we're going to see that. Why he did. So what was the Passover pointing to?
Jesus died on the Passover. Is pointing to his death for redemption. Did you see that? Death and redemption. So the Passover pointed to his death and resurrection. His death and resurrection. Look at what he said in John chapter number in Matthew 26.
He said it's the Passover. You know the Passover. So he told them. So they knew he was going to die. So remember the Passover is now. It's just 2 days. Just 2 days from now. The Son of Man will be betrayed and crucified. So he knew. Did you see that? He knew it was near. And he chose to die. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So that means in his death and resurrection, as he fulfilled the Passover.
Come on, has he fulfilled the Passover? That's why you read 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 7, let's go quickly. Paul will say, 1 Corinthians 5 7 quickly. He says, purge out the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as an unliving. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Did you see that? So, when they say Christ our Passover, he expects you to go to Exodus 12. Did you see that? To see the Passover. Did you see that? Amen. So when you read Passover, watch now, when you read Passover, and you read the lamb that was slain, where does your mind go to in Genesis? Where does it go to in Genesis?
Mount Moriah.
Right?
Mount Moriah. So Moses giving them that ordinance of Passover was pointing them to Mount Moriah.
Did you see that? Was it the same mount that Jesus was killed? The Passover? Did you see the fulfillment? Hallelujah.
So you have to read everything together. So Moses gave them a day in the year to celebrate Passover.
Listen, but did Abraham celebrate a day in the year for Passover? But Abraham understood that God would provide himself a land. Did you see that? God's land. What are you following that? God will provide himself a land. Don't take away the sins of the world. God will provide himself a land. So Abraham knew that.
Amen.
So Abraham knowing it, was Abraham also, what did Abraham do with it? We're going to see that. So the same thing the children of Israel were to do during Passover, to remember how God delivered them, is what he's going to see. He's going to see God is going to provide himself in life. Did you see that? Amen.
What are following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see something else. So in that resurrection, that resurrection, we'll find God's lamb. We find God's Passover. We find God's Pascha, right?
Sacrifice for us
to be saved, right? To be saved, to be delivered. Is that salvation? Delivered, saved, salvation? Out of Egypt? Out of darkness? Colossians 1:13? Yes. So let's see something else. Another thing. Just like the Jubilee feast. They had a Jubilee feast.
They had a Jubilee feast. Hallelujah.
Jubilee. Another feast that they had. And you know what? If Jesus spoke about the Jubilee in Luke 4. Luke 4 quickly. Let's get to Luke 4. You know, like I said, Jesus was so fulfilled all their feasts. In Luke 4, Jesus is speaking about the Jubilee now. For verses 18, he says, this is when he went into the temple and he picked up the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Watch that.
The acceptable year of the Lord. Now that word acceptable year of the Lord is what the Jews call the Feast of Jubilee. So he says he will preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm going to explain what Jubilee is now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God.
Jubilee. So, let's say a few things. I'm not dwelling on verses. It's something is just pushing me there, but it's not in my head, so I can't go there. All those other things. So let's leave it. Let's dwell on Jubilee. But the acceptable year of the Lord is actually Jubilee. You read that in Leviticus 25, carefully, from verses 8. Leviticus 25, from verse 8. Get to Leviticus 25, carefully. Okay. Alright. Look at verse 8. It says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years. Watch this. 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 Sabbaths of years, everybody look up. 7 Sabbaths of years means every 7 Sabbaths of years means every 7 years. 7 of them is 49 years. Right? Watch me. Now. And the space of the seventh Sabbath of years shall be unto the 49 years, right? Verse 9. And then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. Watch that. The trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year. Watch that. So they had the Feast of the Atonement.
And then the 50th year. I need you to look at it.
The 50th year is called Jubilee. Now let's see what will happen in the Jubilee. Hallelujah. Let's know what happened in the Jubilee year. So the Jubilee year is the 50th year.
49 Sabbath years, right? 49 Sabbath year, the 50th year is the Jubilee year. Let's know what happened in the Jubilee year.
In the Jubilee year, verse 10, ye shall hallow the Jubilee. Okay. Now, watch it. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man into his family. That 50th be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither shall ye reap in the... Now,
I want to explain this Jubilee year for you to see. Everybody look up here. Now, Jubilee year is the 50th year, like I said. So, on the 50th year, if any man is a slave, that year he's free. All slaves are free. So, if you cannot pay the ransom, you can wait for 50 years. Let's say you enter into slavery. Like, slavery in their world is, you owe me money, you can't pay, you come and work for me, so you work out that money. Amen. So if you say you can't work it in your lifetime, and maybe Jubilee year is 2 years from there, you're like, okay. Because you know, Jubilee year, you will be free from any debt. You restore every man to his thing. If you've taken any man's land on the 50th year, you return the land, you return the possession. Every man to his family. If you're a slave, you are free. Go home. That is Jubilee. It's a year of freedom. You are free forever. Amen. Did you see that? You see why Jesus will have to fulfill that Jubilee? Hope you are seeing it. 50 years. And if you say you are free, Moses did not that writing it like that. Did you see that? So Jesus in Luke 4 will now say, so preach that acceptable year. He's come to fulfill that acceptable year. That men who are bound slaves in darkness will be free. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Glory to God. So, in that same year of Jesus' death was actually the year of Jubilee. Jesus died in the year of Jubilee. You see why he had to choose that Sabbath? No, that was Jubilee year. And you're supposed to die in the Jubilee year so that men will see the correlation. He's setting men free. He would not have died in any other Sabbath. He would have chosen that one to die. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Jesus died in the Jubilee year. He's behind it. He died in the Jubilee year. Jubilee Sabbath. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jubilee year, Jubilee Sabbath, Jubilee for Passover. He chose that period to die. Hallelujah. Can you see why it's 33? We know that 33 has any significance, but that was the year that was the Jubilee year. If you're going to be missing this, you have to miss another 50 years. Amen. So you have to wait there. That's this is this. Amen. So he knew. Amen. So he chose that one to die. Okay, following me. Amen. Amen. So Jesus chose the Jubilee to die, so that man will be set free. Hope you are saying that. Glory. Let's get... Sorry, my book is a bit scattered. Let's get into some other few details. Hallelujah. So, let's get back a bit into our teaching. We are drawing home closely. But it's still... I'm trying to see how I can close up the first leg before then we continue the second leg from January. Okay, let's see. We said our focus is Mark 16. Verse 17. He said, at this time shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Say they will speak with new tongues. Is that? With new tongues. We'll see the reason why we have to go back to look at Passover Jubilee shortly.
Maybe necessarily not in this session, but tomorrow, but on Saturday, sorry. Hallelujah. We'll see that on Saturday. So let's see some other things. So he said, new tongues. New tongues. Let's see Jesus' commentary on new tongues. Hallelujah. Let's see his commentary on new tongues. And the first time they spoke in tongues was in the Pentecost. The Pentecost again is another Jewish celebration. And it ought to be fulfilled. Let's see the Pentecost again. Hallelujah. So the question we ask is, before I ask that question, see, Jesus spoke about new tongues, right? Right? So if he spoke about new tongues, it therefore means that the origin of the word new tongues will be found where? Will be found where? The Old Testament books. You find the origin of the word new tongues there. Amen. That is, we will find that explanation in the Genesis. In the Genesis, into Exodus, into or through the scriptures. Why? Because he was reading the scriptures. Right? Do you agree with me? But in the scriptures, we're going to find it from there. Hallelujah. We will find the explanation from there. But before that, let's see Jesus' commentary on tongues. On tongues. I need you to wake up now. You sleeping? Nobody is. Luke 24, verse 49. Put your hands there. Put your hands in Acts 1. Luke 24, 49. We're getting back to sub-teachers again. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But far ye in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high. Right? Hallelujah. Acts 1 verse 5. Okay, Acts 1 5. It says, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus told them not many days hence. And then we'll find that happened on the day of Pentecost, right? On the day of Pentecost. So now the question is, did Jesus choose Pentecost for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Or was it a coincidence? Well, for you to see that, first of all, Passover is a coincidence. No. Was Jubilee a coincidence? So that means Pentecost wouldn't be a coincidence. How? We'll see the import of that as we get into Sunday. Into Saturday. But let me show you a few things here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why wouldn't be a coincidence is to go back to Luke 24, verses 49. Again. Get back there again. Look at what he says. He said, and behold. Remember, I told you in verse 44, he was reading from the scriptures. Right? Right? That was that told you, I was told to you that all things were before God, everything is of Moses, the prophet, and the sons concerning it. Land was beyond. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what was that? Okay. Now, when he says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, is that beholding him as Jesus, or they should behold the scriptures? Is it he as Jesus or the scriptures? Why the scriptures? That's what he's reading from. So you're going to behold the scriptures. So that means they're going to see from the scriptures the promise of the Father. That was what we saw during conversion, and I showed you that men did what? Initiated. Did you see that? From scripture? Thank you. So then, let's go further one step. It doesn't say, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon, right? It says, but tarry. Now that word tarry, if the behold is on scripture, it therefore means when it says tarry, tarry would be also a shorthand in scripture. You know that, okay, go and wait. No! We'll have to go back again and we read tarry
from the scriptures to see what it means to tarry.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. So this person, let's see. Did Jesus choose that day or the disciples coincidentally
took it up on that day? No, they didn't coincidentally. They tarried. You remember when we read in Acts of Apostles 1:5? He says, "For John truly baptized with water, for ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So Jesus is reminding them that, see, in few days from now, just like he told them in Matthew 26, in 2 days is the Passover. In few days time, this is going to happen. Don't forget.
Okay, following you.
Now, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is actually a Jewish celebration. 50 days, the 50th day after the Passover, is called the Feast of the Pentecost.
Hallelujah. We're going to see that in Leviticus 23 shortly. Hallelujah. It's called the Feast of the Pentecost.
So what happened? Oh, okay, let's get back to
let me not jump my gun here, because we have a lot of things to see. Back to Leviticus chapter 23. Let's get back to Leviticus 23. So, when we get back to Leviticus 23, don't worry, about to, we're rounding up now, so we'll pick it up on Saturday. Leviticus 23, are you there? Okay. Let's see. He said, "Ye shall count unto you for morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day ye brought the sheep and the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete."
He was talking about the Pentecost. Now, he said, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So 7 Sabbaths is, 7 times 7 is what? 49 days. This is that 7 Sabbaths will be 7 Sabbaths, will be each Sabbath times by what? Times by 7, 49.
Sir, is there math in the Bible? You are reading it. Amen. So you don't like math. Yeah, there's math here.
"Even also the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall be number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." Did you see that? So the 50th day is called Pentecost. It's called the Feast of Weeks. We're going to deal with that on Saturday. We're going to see a few more things about that.
Hallelujah. Amen. So that means, when Jesus told them to tarry, it was in between Sabbath and Pentecost.
Hallelujah. Sabbath to Pentecost. So Jesus told them to tarry. So we're going to see that tarry in scriptures. Why did Jesus choose 40 days to teach them? Why 40 days? It is scriptures too. Hallelujah. The scriptures to 40 days is scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So the 40 days of the scriptures, he chose that 40 days to teach them. And it is part of the tarrying that they will have to tarry for Pentecost.
Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is fulfilling their faith. It doesn't mean a man gets born again. You don't have to wait 50 days. No. It has been fulfilled. Did you see that? If not, we'll all be going to Jerusalem.
That is fulfilled. That is fulfilled. We're going to say, "See it fulfilled in me." Just like Sabbath, Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath, not in a particular day. The Sabbath is not a particular day, but the whole of the believers. Hallelujah. So the same way he fulfilled the Sabbath and the Passover, he's going to fulfill the Pentecost. And we're going to see the impact of the Pentecost. And we're going to see why we have new tongues in the Pentecost. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't mean that, so there's on the Pentecost, no. I'm a Pentecostal because no. Amen.
Because they spoke in tongues on Pentecost Day.
Amen. But that will be the fulfillment of it. So Pentecost will not be a day. Hope you follow me. Because it hasn't fulfilled. Hope you follow me. Hope you follow me.
So Pentecost is not Acts 2. You know what I mean by that? Because even after Acts 2, in Acts 2 they had Pentecost. Okay, no, let me not call it Pentecost, not Acts 2. Let me put it like this. Pentecost Day. Don't worry, as I get to teach you, you get to understand what I want to say. I'm trying to put it in a certain way, but I don't want to confuse you now.
Hallelujah.
But it's not actually a day, but it's because it has been fulfilled. Hope you are following me.
So a believer doesn't have to wait 50 days after he says to speak in tongues. No, it has been fulfilled. Jesus has to make them wait that 50 days so that they will see it from scriptures and scripture fulfilled. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Not for you to wait and go to the church.
Amen. Amen. But you see that. So there's that point where you have, where they have to carry. And they we will read it from the Leviticus. And we'll see the import of it. We'll see why that, and then we'll see tongues in it. Hallelujah. And we'll see why those tongues there. And why, where is Moses reading from the Genesis? And we'll read everything together. And see the import of speaking in tongues. And why we have to speak with tongues. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. And hope you learned something tonight. Are you sure?